Welcome back. It is time for Building Rural Wealth, Milestone Financial with me, and we have the opportunity and privilege to visit with Denise Miller. Denise, how are you?
I am outstanding.
Nice to see you.
It's great to be here.
How's your summer been? It's over.
I can't believe it. Can you believe that summer's over?
No.
I mean, and you have to wear, if you can't see me, but I have white on, and I always think, you better get to wearing it, because you know the old rule, you can't wear white after Labor Day?
Did you know that, Caleb?
I've heard it, but I don't follow
it. Obviously, you are not following the 1970s fashion trends, which was drilled into your head when you were a young girl, You don't wear white after Easter and Labor Day. That's it. That's the only time you can wear white.
You don't wear white after Labor Day.
You're not supposed to. But now, I think that's really all out the window. But I still, every time I see something white, I think, it's after Labor Day.
Uh-oh.
Probably shouldn't wear that.
And we have with us Caleb Roback. Caleb, how are you today, Caleb?
I'm good. I don't adhere to those strict fashion trends. I wear pajama pants on Saturday, so I don't know.
Are they white?
Yeah, no, probably. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, probably. Who knows?
All right.
Probably every color.
Okay.
But yeah, summer is over, kind of.
You have kids at school.
Yep.
They're back at it.
They are back at it. So, yeah, it's a good first week kind of being back at it. Full week kind of back at it. But, no, kind of getting back in the swing of things and getting up early, getting them to school. And, looking forward to fun school year. But, yeah, summer kind of blinked and is gone already.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Building Rural Wealth, Milestone Financial, difficult money conversations to have with your spouse. This should be good.
Oh, my gosh.
Denise.
Originally Dan was supposed to come today, but he had a prior commitment, I guess we would say. And it's funny that Caleb and I are talking about this together, but money conversations are hard, especially for married people. Mm-hmm. And part of that is you fear conflict. You don't want to create waves. You don't want the other spouse to get upset. And so everybody has kind of different financial backgrounds and different financial ideas. And one partner feels more knowledgeable usually, and the other one feels left out. And so it's common for partners to bring different financial styles to their marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's also common for some to be spenders, some to be savers, some to be cautious, some to be risk takers, and some to just, obviously hide what, they don't want the other spouse to know.
Uh-huh.
But some of the questions we like to talk to when we talk to couples are, what was your money situation like growing up? Because usually, if you were raised in different kinds of backgrounds, different kinds of households, you have different money ideas and how to spend mm-hmm. money and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And, one of the other questions we like to ask is, do you remember a time where you felt proud about a financial decision that you made?
I feel like this might get deep today. Denise, I feel like this could be like a therapy session.
Dan didn't want to have his counseling session today.
So convenient he's not here. Okay.
For one partner, spending money might just feel like enjoying life. Mm-hmm. And for the other partner, enjoying life means saving money. And, when the values collide, the tension builds. And that's when you start hearing those things. Oh my gosh, you're spending too much. You did what? You bought what? You went where? You spent how much? You never let me do anything.
Oh, my.
I'm sure you've heard these words. Caleb, have you ever heard these words?
Yeah. Usually it's one-sided towards the end. But to this point, it's like all couples deal with that. Like, again, Dan, Denise, they're in the business. They have these conversations, personal too, but they know it. But, again, same with me and my wife, I'm too. But every couple, it is hard to talk about money and do it because y'all got different experiences, different background, different knowledge of mm-hmm. it too. And, usually one person kind of does take the reins or not. And people split finances different nowadays too. Not everybody has the joint bank accounts.
Absolutely. And so, Denise, you alluded to some are spenders, some are, we have different thoughts on
that. Exactly.
You know, in a relationship, though, opposites attract and they can balance, but you have to talk about it. So. But to your point about the tension of you're spending too much and those kind of conversations, that can lead to some real issues.
Oh,
right?
It can lead to huge issues.
Resentment, and that can spill over into your relationship overall. So,
absolutely.
So what do you do there?
Absolutely. Well, you know, basically avoiding conversation about money doesn't make it any better.
It doesn't go away?
No, oh, okay. And it's not going to go away. And so you really have to sit down and you have to really, I don't want to say disengage, but you have to tamp those emotions down and you have to rationally, which is hard.
Yep.
It's really hard. And I can tend to, I know you find this hard to believe, but I can tend to get a little emotional.
No.
And when you get a little emotional, it is hard. It is hard. So you have to tamp that down and try to have honest conversations with each other about money.
So let's talk about just in order to do that, tamp those emotions down and have that conversation. Help me get started here, Caleb, with just a real practical, easy way to start that conversation.
Yeah, and it is hard. And, you know, what you try to do is frame it as a teamwork, you know, because at the end of the day, you guys are a team. It is a couple, but yeah, one of you might have more strengths than the other in certain areas, but try to, you know, frame it as a teamwork, not as an interrogation. Because usually, to your point, it's like, I don't have the stat in front of me, but, you know, most marriages that end in divorce are the number one reason is usually financial reasons, followed by all these other things. But a lot of times it is financial stress or financial reasons and stuff, too. So it does spill over. And, you know, maybe both of you aren't paying attention to finances or one is, but you don't want that to feel like an interrogation. So, you know, some helpful questions to start is, you know, what are your priorities for money? You know, what are your priorities? What are our priorities? And do they match up? You know, how do you feel about debt? What's your comfort level? You know, everyone comes into a relationship probably with different debt, especially if they've had student loans and stuff like that. So especially like early on, you know, in a couple's life, you need to figure out that, but you're going to take on debt probably as a couple too. You know, do you prefer saving for big goals or do you prefer saving for little goals and spending it? You know, again, some people's savings habits are different. Some people can save up $10,000 for a big goal, but some people, as soon as they save up $500, they kind of want that. But, you know, there's different styles in that. Like Denise said, opposites attract. There are ways that you can kind of complement those, but you kind of got to know what the other person's thinking. And, you know, you would try to emphasize, you know, just listening, and there's not going to be an immediate solve to some of these things. But, you know, what, you know, probably Dan and Denise try to do, we try to do is, you know, you do try to dedicate some time to talk about those. You know, it's sometimes driving down the road on a 10-hour car ride and you bring it up after you're both kids are screaming in here and let's talk finances maybe isn't the best time, which maybe sometimes that's when I choose to bring it up.
Yeah.
So I've learned that from experience, you know. You do got to have times, but it's communication at the end of the day. Like we talk about with our clients, you got to talk back and forth. It is a team. You know, you're both bringing something to the table, whether it's a single income household or dual income, but
timing is important, you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm Caleb.
Dan's taught me that over the years too. Timing is special.
So what's something you notice with couples when it comes to these money conversations, Caleb?
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing I've noticed is it's hard to have that honest conversation, you know, about what money is. And, you know, often there's a visible shift, you know, when we do have it. And again, a lot of times when we're talking with clients, especially when it is more about their whole plan, not just only the investment piece, but their financial planning, like we talk about, you know, you can a lot of find times, you know, what are the goals? A lot of times there is overlapping, but couples will kind of find out from that process, oh, I didn't know you wanted to do that, or I didn't know you thought about it like that and stuff too. So, you know, a lot of times when you do and kind of start breaking down that barrier, it is easier to relax. It's easier to talk about it the second, the third, the fourth, fifth time around. And sometimes, you know, yeah, you'll hear them say, you know, I didn't know you felt that way or thought that way or wanted to do that, again, from planning goals. But a lot of times it's, you know, just feeling like gives them an opportunity to be heard.
Yeah.
And like a lot in our meetings, we ask both husband and wife, like, what are your thoughts from a risk perspective in that regard from your investments? If you both have retirement accounts, a lot of couples have different risk tolerances.
Completely different.
Yeah. So for us, that's a good conversation starter. You know, how do you think about risk in that? And You know, usually couples will answer differently, but then it kind of spreads from there. But, you know, couples who commit to kind of doing that or talking about that, you know, again, it kind of brings some order to the financial lives, because like Denise maybe like this, doesn't matter what income level, money causes stress.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're living paycheck to paycheck or, you know, you think you got enough, there's still things that pop up that are stress, either for both couples or like one, two. So, you know, and just like the planning process, you know, progress is what you're aiming for, not perfection.
Perfection doesn't exist. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Progress over perfection.
Yeah.
Good stuff. You mentioned the differences. What you want to do, what your wife wants to do, most likely will be different, right? So how do you navigate this, Denise? What do I do?
Well, the common sticking points are spending styles, you know, and some people are savers, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I think I grew up hearing the expression tighter than bark on a tree, you know, and yeah. some people, you know, are like the water that turned the faucet on and just spend away, you know. So I think the number one thing you have to do is you have to separate who's a spender, who's a saver. If you're both savers, well, man, you know, good for you. Mm-hmm. If you're both spenders, look out. You know, you could get in trouble really fast.
Yeah.
So I think that's an open conversation that you need to have is understanding what your spending styles are and retirement needs versus near-term needs. It is interesting that so many people, there's a lot of people, we encounter a lot of people that have not saved for retirement. They've basically lived paycheck to paycheck, and that retirement has always been out there on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually, someday, I'm going to get there.
Right.
And then they turn mid-50s, and all of a sudden they realize, whoa, wait a minute.
This is going to be here soon.
This is going to be here soon. And they don't know what it's going to look like. They haven't funded it. They haven't taken time for that. And that's another conversation that you need to have as well is, hey, yeah, we want to do these things now. Yeah, we want to do these things in the near future. But we also need to be thinking about what's coming down the road in 20 to 30 to 40 years.
Yeah.
And that's a hard conversation to have too. The other thing that happens, not so much with younger couples, but with what I call the sandwich generation, you could have parents that maybe are having some financial issues and they need help financially. You can have kids that are having financial troubles and you want to help them out financially. And that's another conversation that you need to be sure to have with your spouse before you just offer that help up. And we see a lot of people who get into that situation where maybe their parents can't pay their bills or their kids can't pay their bills and, oh, we're going to help them out. We're going to cash this out and we're going to do this. And maybe the other spouse doesn't know that they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all very difficult things that need to be discussed.
Yes.
And those can create a lot of tension.
Yes. Or you help one kid out, now do we got to help the other two, three right. equally at the
right.
same time?
And how do you divide those expenses? Yeah. That's yeah. the other thing. And, you know, the other thing you need to do is have conversations about what are we going to do in our future? How are we going to pay for our retirement? How are we going to make sure the mortgage gets paid? How mm-hmm. are we going to make sure And what defines financial security? What does financial security mean to me? What does it mean to you? Because it can mean two totally different things depending upon the person.
But like earlier on in your conversation, if you can come to the point where you can tamp down the emotions and you can talk about it, that's a challenging to do, but it is so important. So big picture, what are we looking at big picture? So we're navigating those differences, but big picture, Caleb, talk to me about the big picture.
Yeah, Denise touched on it, you know, some things she said were big picture, but, you know, hopefully after you kind of do have that, you know, kind of mutual understanding of like where each other's coming from, what your financial background is, then hopefully you can start really talking about those big picture things, which is going to be as you move through your, you know, life stage as a couple too, you know, you're going to start thinking about retirement, you know, now moving to your second house or home upgrades or, you know, starting or, you know, growing the family, education planning for kids and your grandkids. And then eventually you start thinking about, you know, your legacy plan, your charitable estate or, you know, your will and estate planning, those type of things too. So, you know, and those evolve over different life stages, you know. So, again, that's where I say it's also progress and, you know, not perfection, because your thoughts on those are going to change too, you know.
That is such a good way to, that's a good phrase progress to over put it in. Progress
over perfection. Yeah. Oh, did I just come up with a great, like, you catch did. that was a complete accident.
Yeah, t-shirt. You need a t-shirt for that.
But you know, with that, because truly that's what you're trying to do, but some questions, you know, that you want to ask, or, you know, maybe have somebody help you ask by working with an advisor or a counselor or something, is, you know, when you picture retirement, what does it look like to you? You know, what experiences do you want to prioritize prior to retirement? Like Denise said, part of it is also, as a couple, you want to live life today.
Yeah.
You know, and Denise mentioned, you know, some of you are savers, some of you are spenders, but, you know, if both, one of you is savers, one of you is spender, there's kind of always that tension there as well, too, of spending and saving. So you kind of got to find that balance. But, you know, you also want to find out how important is it, you know, to leave something for us for the next generation. As you are having family and stuff, truly, what do you do financial-wise to either protect your family, leave something for your family? Because that gets into insurance planning, you know, life and health and all those things, plus your investments. So there's a lot there to think about. But again, that's where, you know, we can come into play too and help people think of these questions, answer some of those questions.
So part of our conversation, having a mature conversation, talking about it, tamping down the emotions. But I know, as a guy, I want to win the conversation.
So does your wife.
So, Denise, how do we keep this on a good level, healthy level? How
you know,
do we do that?
I'm going to just say this, because this is notorious, Dan Miller. Do not talk to me about this at 8:30 at night, okay? I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. Uh-huh. I do not want to have an in-depth conversation about anything at 8:30 or 9:30 or 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And you've got to choose the right time. Now, if you're both night owls and you know, you're both up till 2 o'clock in the morning and 8:30 is fine. But Denise Miller is not up late at night, you know, so don't talk to me about this at 8:30 at night. You have to choose the right time that both of you are alert and calm and able to have these kind of conversations. And focus on your shared goal, because no matter what, no matter if you, one spouse is a spender and one spouse is a saver, you both ultimately have the same goals, or you wouldn't be together, I guess.
Right.
And so focus on those goals. Focus on where you want to be, not where you are today, and how you want to get to where you want to be. And also, never use you never or you always, you know, and you have to not point your finger. You know, we had a children's message at church one time about every time you point your finger, guess how many fingers you have pointing back at you. So don't point your finger and don't say you always or you never. I mean, those are just not roads you want to go down when you're having these conversations. And again, if it gets emotional or it gets too hot, take a break.
Yeah.
Walk away, cool off, come back and talk about it later on.
I see why Dan didn't want to.
Can bring up some old scars. Maybe. Yeah.
He needs to go back and listen to this. All right. It is good. It's great. You know, honestly, that's good advice for not only those financial conversations, that can go to a whole lot of things.
It can, to be honest
with you. So when do you bring in some outside help, professionals in this conversation, Caleb?
Yeah, well, that's what I started to say. You know, that's where we do step in, and, you know, really is a good time. You know, we work with young couples. We work with folks getting ready to retire, you know, but, you know, working or having that unbiased third party can kind of help relieve some of that tension. You know, you got somebody that is calling it the team and both of you aren't going back and forth, or helps you, you know, a lot of my experience helps you understand, like, what are those common goals? You know, what are those shared ones? But also, it's kind of important, what are your own independent personal goals too? Again, like, talking with that and somebody and just, like, talking, saying that in front of them just helps people explore that. But, you know, marriage counselors, things like that can do that too. But purely financial planning wise, like for us, it's when you help people create that plan and do it, then they're on the same page, you know, because what then we try to do is, you talked about, you know, you got kind of got to take breaks or check in on it. But, you know, that's what we do with clients is, hey, once a year, we will help you review this. We'll do it. So it's not all on you to kind of bring it up to your spouse or whatever. Let's set the time. We'll schedule a time. These are all the things that we talked about. So
this is really great. Because the other thing, too, is if you know that you're going to have an argument about it, you'll avoid it.
Exactly.
So then you just kind of push it down the road and push it down the road because you don't want to have the conversation.
Yeah.
It's great. It's this topic could go on for a while.
And one of the nice things that we have at our disposal is the software we use with our financial planning. And it's interesting because you will learn so much about people when they say, well, what if we were to buy a house in Montana and we do this and I have this and and you can put that in the plan and show them if it's possible or if it's not possible and what they would have to adjust to make that possible. And it's really eye-opening because suddenly sometimes things that you think you want and you tell them how to get it or you tell them this really isn't possible or you tell them, yeah, no problem, it changes them because all of a sudden they're like, well, no, I don't really want to do that. Right.
Right. Absolutely.
But it's a nice non-confrontational way to kind of say what if and have that
conversation.
Conversation.
Building rural wealth, difficult money decisions to have with your spouse. We have Denise Miller with us and Caleb Roebuck. Okay, wrap this up for me. These conversations can go on, so wrap it up for me, Caleb.
But like we kind of talk about, all the stuff we talk about is challenging, but it is important, but it does take a little bit of work, to do it. But again, as you start doing it and create some of that progress, it hopefully gets easier as time and you kind of easier in track. And again, that's what we're here for, as a resource to hopefully if you are having trouble as a couple, bridging that financial gap or planning, give us a call and we can help. But it's, you got to start somewhere and kind of got to ask sometimes.
And honesty, you go back to the golden rule, honesty is the best policy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just takes having honest conversations, and sometimes those are really hard to have.
Yeah. Once you kind of figure out, here's where you're staying today, here's how we're moving forward, then that kind of relieves some of that tension that you probably maybe had for
years
that, just talking about it. Yep.
All right. How can people reach out? What's the best thing to do to reach out?
Give us a call, 712-623-5726, or visit our website, www.playingwithmilestonefinancial.com, and you can book an appointment there. Give us a call or check out our YouTube too with this video.
You bet.
Yeah.
Nice to see you both.
Yeah, thank you.
It's great to be here.
Make it a great day.